Genesis chapter number 37. We would have probably finished up the chapter. We probably won't finish it up now, but I want to remind us that as we're studying through this, what we are studying is it's a character study, right? We're studying the character that this story of Joseph is teaching us as Christians. So remember that. It's not just a history lesson. It's not just we're just getting a history lesson and we're just trying to dig a few little nuggets here and there out of it. But we are looking at the character as Christians that we should take on. And what we see through this is we see a couple of things. We see not only Joseph's character, right? But we're seeing the characters of his brothers. And how, as Christians, those are things we should not, right, be imitating, and that how those are in our Christian life will steer us away. We're also seeing the character of his father, of Jacob, as we study through this. So as we continue on through this, we'll just continue to look at these things. And we got down to about verse number 25, I believe. Let's see if that's right. No, 29. We were about verse 28. Okay, we were down and around verse number 28, and I just kind of want us to pick back up there where we left off. Remember last week we talked about Joseph and his brothers, and we said that his brothers, it was four things. Let me get those notes back in. I got notes everywhere here. It said that in those four things that we see from his brothers, their execution of their plot against Joseph, they stripped him, they starved him, they slighted him, and now we're down to the part where they sold him. And I stopped last week because we kind of wanted to pick up, I wanted to go a little deeper in this verse we were in, and so I didn't want to get bogged down. But now we're to the part where they sold him. Part of their plot against him was to sell him. That caravan of merchants came along, you remember? And it was a caravan of Ishmaelites. Now that's interesting if you think about it, because remember who we're talking about. We're talking about Jacob, who was later renamed what? Israel, right? So we're talking about the father of, we think, so who was his daddy? Who was Jacob's daddy? Isaac. Who was Isaac's daddy? Who was it? Abraham. Abraham had two sons. What were their names? Isaac and who? Ishmael. Isn't it interesting that now Jacob's son, who is Abraham's grandson, so Abraham's great-grandson is coming through, and now a caravan of the Ishmaelites coming up from the south. If you look on the maps and you see where they come from, they're coming up from the south area, coming up from out of that area, out of the wilderness of Paran, and they're coming through, and that's who eventually leads and takes him to Egypt, to the place where God had prepared to make him a blessing to the Israelites, so to speak, in the long run. Isn't that amazing? Amen? So Abraham cast out Hagar and her son Ishmael. And now we see that that very descendants of that very line are the ones that are now coming in to take up and to preserve, eventually, God's people. So God always has a plan, amen? God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows how to take all those events in your life and move them around and take them into where, what does it say in Romans 8:28? That all things work together for good, right? So I thought that was interesting. But this band of Ishmaelites come through, and they just happened to come by, as we talked about last week, but we know it wasn't just happened. And so Judah proposed that they sell him instead of killing him, that we just sell him. And Judah's thinking was that Joseph would be carried far enough away into Egypt that he would never be heard of again, and we would be dealing with this problem, and we don't have to put our hands on him, and we don't have to kill him. And because after all, he is our flesh and blood. Remember what Judah said down there in what verse was that, where he says, verse 27, he says, "Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh," and his brethren were content. So we see here that he's basically looking at it, not only do we not have to kill him, but we might make a little profit on this situation. What profit is it? What profit, he said, is it if we slay our brother? Now, let me look at this verse. Flip with me, if you would, over to Psalm 76, the 76th Psalm. Verse number 10. Psalm 76:10 says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Interesting, isn't it? The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. His brother's hatred, his brother's wrath, they were restrained from murdering Joseph through this, and the fact that they sold him later was turned into the praise of God. Look at that verse says, the wrath of man shall praise thee. All of this was working in Joseph's life and his brother's life and all that for the glory of God. Doesn't look like it when you're down in that pit, does it? Right? Don't we get in the pit sometimes? Amen. And it doesn't look like, man, how is this going to turn for good? How is this going to be for the praise of God? But God knows how to turn things around. Amen? And let's look at a few types here. We've been looking at the types of Christ. I see a few here I want us to take a look at. Now, we see here, we had a type of Jesus Christ with Joseph being put into the pit, and we said, well, that's a type of Jesus Christ as he was laid into the tomb. So now we see Joseph coming out of the pit alive and in his body, right? And we see a type there. I see a type there of Christ where Jesus Christ was bodily resurrected from the tomb. Amen? Pit, if you want to call it that, however you want to word it. I know it's one's a hole in the ground, one's a hole in the rock. One's a hole this way, one's a hole that way, right? Okay, so you can just kind of flip it in your mind and say, oh, well, maybe you're stretching it, Brother Jimmy. Well, maybe I am, but it's my Sunday school lesson, amen? So, no, I'm just joking. But it does say there, he came out of the pit bodily. Jesus was resurrected. I see a type there of Joseph. Another type I see here is that now they're going to sell Joseph, and they sell him to the Ishmaelites, and I see there a type of Christ. He was sold for the price of a slave, right? Let's look down verse 37, verse number 38 there. We'll just flip back over there. And it says there that, is it 38? No. I wrote down the wrong verse reference, sorry. Must be 28. 28. They drew him up in verse 28, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, Jesus Christ was also sold, was he not, for 30 pieces of silver, which was, the Bible tells us, was the price of a slave. Now, he said, well, this is 20 and this is 30. But remember, Joseph is a boy. Joseph is a young man. Joseph's just a boy. And I believe that it was, that's probably the difference. I'm not really getting hung up on the difference. The type is, though, that Jesus Christ, Joseph was sold for the price of a slave, and Jesus Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Amazing there. He said, we'll just chalk it up to inflation on the difference. Amen. But I just see a good type there. Look at another type. Judah suggested the idea of selling his brother in verses 26 through 28. Judah was the one that brought up the suggestion. The Greek, let's go over the book of Matthew now, all right? New Testament. Matthew chapter number 1. Now remember, the New Testament is translated from the Greek, right? All right? Verse number two. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat who? Judas. Now we know in the Hebrew, what's his name? What's his name in the Hebrew? Judah. This is the Greek, translated from the Greek. In the Greek, it was written down, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. So we see a type here. Judah was the one that suggested the idea of selling his brother. The Greek word for Judah is Judas. And as we look in the Old New Testament, we see in Jesus' day, who was it that sold, who suggested selling Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver? Who was it that suggested that? Judas. So we see as we go through the Word of God, as we study these things out, that there's types in this of that we see all through this story of Judah, of Joseph, and the type and the story and how it compares to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a blessing as we look at those things. So we see here that it was all that was turned into God's, that would be turned into God's praise. That's down through verse number 28. Now go to verse 29 now. And we see here the story changed a little bit. So Reuben returned, in verse 29, Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? Reuben, so we see here that Reuben's gone, Reuben apparently had gone away. And I think that Reuben was intending on coming back to the pit, right, and getting Joseph out. And we know that because he was going to return him back to his father. We remember reading that. And he was going to return him to his father some other way. And because it says, let's see, whither shall I go? I'm sorry, where is it? Yeah, verse 22, that's right. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him. That and the reason he did that was that he might redeem him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So now Reuben comes back to the pit, expecting to see Joseph in it, and Joseph's gone. And he starts to panic. Because he knows that he is the one that has the ultimate responsibility to bear record and to bear responsibility for his brother Joseph. Now this was a kind thought that Reuben had. Reuben was thinking about his brother, and I'm going to return him back to my father. But what would have happened if his plan had happened? What would have happened if Reuben's plan had come to pass? He just got him onto there, took him back to his daddy, and that would have been the end of it. Think about how things would have changed, right? Flip with me, if you would, over Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, verse 21. I'm always doing the reading here. Someone read that for us this morning. Let you do a little bit of reading. Proverbs 19, 21. Someone read that for us.
He that followeth after righteousness and mercy
by his life, righteousness. All right, now let's try Proverbs 19, 21. That's a good verse, but that's not the one I'm looking for, unless I wrote it down.
There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord is shall.
Isn't that good? So there's, and we know that's true, amen. I mean, that's us, right? That's us in our everyday life. There's many counsel. There's many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand.
Amen.
That's what happens right here. Reuben had devised in his heart a plan to get Joseph out of that pit and to get him back to daddy's house. There never would have been a Potiphar's house. There never would have been a pit. I mean, there would have been a Potiphar's house. There never would have been a prison. There never would have been a palace if this had taken place. Counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. I'm glad of that. Amen. Even in my life, I'm glad that the Lord can intervene and move things. Now, Reuben knew that being the eldest, that his father would expect an accounting from him of Joseph. But as it proved, they would all have been undone if he had not been sold. Like, amen. That's what I was getting to. Reuben had his plan, but as it proved out, they would have all, the whole group of them, even down to Joseph, the whole family would have been undone, would have perished if Joseph had not been sold into Egypt. So now we move down into verse number 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." His brothers knew. Very soon, Joseph would be missed, and there was going to be an inquiry to find out what was going on, right? And they figured, so what did they do? They devised another plot, another plan. Even another plan they've devised. And they did it for two reasons. They did it, one, to clear their name, right? That was the first reason, to make sure that they covered up, that they cleared their name. But also, I think if we look at this, we'll see that they did it not only that, but they did it to grieve their father, too. And that's the sad part. But I believe the Word of God bears it out. Now, let's look about the part about covering our sins. So, the book of Job, chapter number 31 and verse number 33, read over there, flip over there with me, if you would. I just like looking at those verses, amen? I think it's good for us to look at them. Job 31. In verse number 33, Job 31, 33, if somebody would read that verse for us. Right. If I covered my transgressions as Adam. So we've learned, as mankind, from Adam, how to cover our sins, haven't we? That's where we learned it. Job told us, right here in the Word of God, Job told us we learned that from Adam. When the devil teaches men to commit one sin, he teaches them then to conceal it with another sin, doesn't he? But what does Proverbs 28:13 tell us? Proverbs 28:13 tells us, "He that covereth sins, what? Shall not prosper." So that plan was doomed to fail from the beginning, right? They covered their sins. They did it, first of all, to cover themselves. They learned it from their daddy, and he learned it from his daddy. And we know, hey, we can go back and look at Isaac and Abraham, and we know they learned how to conceal things because they both went to Abimelech and covered their sin and lied about their wives, and we can see that if we go back and look. Don't let it be surprising to us, unfortunately, though, if our children lie to us and cover it, they probably learned it from us. It's kind of a scary thought, but we learned it all from Adam, amen? I don't mean that to negate or to degrade anybody. I know it's just we are all have a sinful nature, but the Bible says, he that covereth sin shall not prosper. His brothers covered theirs, but it came to light in the end, didn't it? And not only did it come to light, but it came to light and was told to the entire world and has been told from age to age to age down to this day where we're looking at it. Man. That's a thought for us to think about, isn't it? You never know. I heard somebody say one time, make sure that anything you say, you'd be willing for it to be put in the newspaper tomorrow. That's look. I mean, they thought they were covering their sins, and It's been broadcast to the entire world and has been translated in no telling how many languages and been passed down and taught on from age to age to age. That's not the part of my life I'd be wanting them to teach about. Amen? That's not the part of our lives that we want somebody to be teaching on. So not only, but it seems they, so they did it to cover their sins, to clear themselves. But I believe as we look at it also, it seems designed on purpose to be a revenge because of Jacob's distinguishing love, his love that he has showed for Joseph. I believe that part of this was revenge on their daddy. What did they do? They brought the one thing, the badge of honor, the distinguishing thing that he had. They brought that coat to their daddy. And said, "Is this Joseph's coat?" That was the badge of honor. That was the thing. The very thing. And it had one more color on it. The color of blood. I see a type here. Remember, it was the blood of a goat, right? Let's look at one more type here, and then we'll probably. Finish up right here. I want us to look at a type that of between Joseph and this story in Joseph and Jesus Christ. Now we see here that Joseph's blood, his blood sprinkled coat, which was the coat, the blood of a goat. His blood sprinkled coat is presented to his father. Flip with me, if you would, over to the book of Leviticus. Chapter number 16. Verse number 8. Leviticus 16:8 says, "And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness." So I'm focusing here on this goat's blood, right? I'm focusing here on this, on the, and Joseph's coat that had the goat's blood on it was presented to his father. Jesus Christ, who is our scapegoat, right? See, Jesus Christ fulfilled this in both pieces. Not only was he the sin goat, not only was he the sin offering, the goat for the sin offering, but he also became our scapegoat, right? And he's the scapegoat, and his blood, what did he do? He presented his blood to the Father as a sin offering. So I see a type here. I know it's a little bit, but I see that type of how that blood was, in this case, was presented to his Father. But Jesus Christ, our scapegoat. I like this part in the verse in Leviticus 16. I like this piece. Look down if you would, to verse number 21. I love this verse right here. Leviticus 16:21. It says, "Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man." I like that. Amen. Into the wilderness. Jesus Christ is our fit man. Amen. He carried our sins as far as the east is from the west. Amen. He's our scapegoat, Sister Joan. He's our scapegoat. The sins, all of our sins, were placed upon him on the cross of Calvary, and he bore them, and he became the sin offering for them, and he carried our sins away as the scapegoat. Amen. Doesn't that give you a blessing? Doesn't that just give you goosebumps on your goosebumps? Amen. Boy, that's a blessing. He's our fit man. There was nobody else that could have borne the sins of the entire, of all mankind, but Jesus Christ did it. Boy, it just makes you thankful. And so you see this type here how Jesus Christ was presented to his father and presented that offering and the scapegoat. So I just love that story, and I love that part of Leviticus, and we see that was just a cover. See, for them, it was just a covering. It had to be done over and over and over, didn't it? But Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, was made an offering for sin once for all. And it was done. And Brother Vernie, he never has to be sacrificed again. Amen. He only had to shed that blood one time. And it's covered all of us, and it's covered all before us, and it'll cover all after us who are willing to receive it. Amen. I like that. I'm glad he's my fit man. Amen. It's a good message. That'll preach. I've preached it before. I like that message. But I just love that thought about our fit man. And there's nobody else that could have carried those sins and gotten rid of them, but Jesus Christ did. Amen. So what we'll do next week is we'll pick back up here, and we'll take a look at Jacob. And Jacob realizes, and Jacob gets a little hasty. He just kind of automatically assumes and kind of just gets a little hasty in his decision and says, Joseph is dead. Joseph's been rent in pieces, and we'll see him mourning and grieving over Joseph, and we'll talk about that. But his brothers did it, I believe. They did it to cover their sins. They also did it to grieve their father. Is this your son's coat? Yes, it is. And they brought that blood-stained coat to him, that badge of honor, that coat that his daddy put so much pride in, that love and that distinguishing love that he had for Joseph and all that. And they're saying, nah-huh, now what's happened to your son? So we'll look at that a little bit deeper next week. Amen. All right, I know that was quick. And, well, it's just good to study God's word. Amen.